Hey everybody, before we go into today's podcast, I wanted to say that a new book is coming, the follow-up to Jab, 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 Right Hook, originally called Jab, 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 Left Hook, but I finally captured what I've been doing for the last 20 years as an entrepreneur, as a creator and influencer, as an operator of a marketing company that works with Fortune 5,000, 500 companies, and really the punchline of what I'm seeing in society, which is day trading attention, how to actually build brand and sales in the new social media world. I'm really proud of this book. When I read it, and some of you follow my social enough to see the clips, when I read it in studio, it got so deep, it goes so detailed. It goes macro and micro, as I like to roll. And so if you've not picked up a copy yet, go to GaryVee.com/DTA, which stands for Day Trading Attention. That's GaryVee.com. Yes, GaryVee.com/DTA for Day Trading Attention. I have a feeling that this book, much like Jab, 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 Right Hook, literally got an email yesterday about Jab, Jab, Right Hook. They just read it. It's 10 years ago. The updated version of the marketing manual for your marketing team. Definitely if you have a social media person that runs your stuff, you need to get a book for them. And definitely the marketers in Fortune 500 for your staff. And the entrepreneurs and creators and influencers who are trying to build something for themselves. So proud of it. Hope you enjoy it as much as I enjoyed putting it together. The manual that we are going to give to everybody when they join VaynerMedia to read, and hopefully the manual to the modern marketing world, and especially social media first world. Day Trading Attention out this May 2024. Pre-order your copy now. I think this is the story that I know you wanted to share. Let's talk about that.
Be clear, he does not want to share this story, but yeah. I thought your audience would love it.
I love you for that.
I think they'll, I love they'll you find for
that.
Some
Thank you for doing that.
The failed successes seem to be the hot story.
Vayner Nation, how are you? We are really excited about this episode of the podcast because we're going to talk about entrepreneurship. We're going to talk about the entrepreneurial journey that I know a lot of you are on, the highs, the lows. But we're going to talk about one of my favorite subject matters. So before I introduce these two great guests and what they're up to, I have to give a huge shout out to Jordan Syatt, who was my trainer for 3 years. Mike Vacanti introduced me to him. Mike Vacanti's now back in my trainer. They put out a book recently. By the way, I should have given that a little more love. They have some funny stories about me, including one time when I ate an obnoxious amount of baked beans at Citi Field and was not happy with my weight. But, you know, as I got to know these gentlemen and we're pondering some fun stuff together, I'm very passionate about what they're doing for a living because I grew up with a quote unquote bad back my whole life. I was a senior in high school, 17 years old, and just in the middle of the night woke up and it was the scariest thing that ever happened. My back quote unquote went out. I had no idea what was going on. I was in the most pain that I'd have ever been in my life and I couldn't walk and I scraped my way to my parents' room, had no idea what was going on. My family's very old school, Eastern European Russian, so it was basically like, just take this Tylenol, go to sleep. There was no like, I mean, the amount of compassion kids get now compared to what I got is like, people get a splinter and get 10 times more than I got. I just want to remind everybody, I could not walk. It's 3:30 in the morning. My mom's like, here's some Tylenol, go to sleep. Here's the funny part. I didn't go to school that day because that they had compassion for. I wake up and I'm perfect. I wake up at like 10:30, which is cool because I couldn't sleep for a couple hours. I wake up, I'm perfect. Perfect, as if it didn't happen. I have no idea what happened. My mom then says she has to run an errand and I go with her. We go to the Phillipsburg Mall in New Jersey and the huge sign at the Phillipsburg Mall says, baseball card show today. My mom looks at me and thought I made it up to trick her so I could go to the baseball. But that day became the journey of what became a 20-year journey before Jordan Syatt came into my life and taught me about my QL, taught me about the stretches, taught me about soft tissue, did the work. And for years and years and years, I've done the work and my back is in by far the best shape it's ever been in. Ironically, I've started playing basketball again. We played a lot of basketball over a 2-day period and I actually tweaked it for the first time ever. And like, by the way, this morning, instead of the chest workout I had, Mike Vacanti and I did 45 minutes of soft tissue rolling against it. So this is very intriguing timing because what I also learned, and I know I'm doing a huge intro, but I really want to go there because I think a ton of you are going to want to know about and talk about what we're talking about here. When COVID came, I wasn't doing as much as my regular stretching. I was in my house, the non-gym setting didn't have me do my warm up as much. I was kind of doing the Bowflex thing, just like all weights. I was focused on it. And I really felt the effects after 18, 24 months. And when I was talking to Mike and even occasionally Jordan, it was funny. I thought it was the lack of stretching. And then the conversation that we're about to get to really started to hit my radar when Mike said, it's the sitting. And that really, really triggered me, because where I got caught was I wasn't sitting a lot when I was 17, 16. Mm-hmm. And so I never associated my injury with sitting. What I, in hindsight, do understand was starting at 22, because I was building a .com, I sat an enormous amount and I reinforced my issues in all those years of sitting. I'm setting that up, and now I'm gonna introduce these two wonderful gentlemen, and it will all make sense of why I've told these stories and what we're talking about here today. So men, thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Why don't you tell the Vayner Nation individually who you are and what you do?
Yeah, my name's Eric Murphy. I'm one of the co-founders and CMO of Anthros.
And I'm Steve Dufresne. I'm one of the co-founders and the inventor and CEO of Anthros.
Wonderful. So now, to connect the whole thing, why don't both of you, whoever wants to take the mic, tell the story of what is Anthros?
Go for it, Murph.
Yeah, I would say, just at a very high level, we are the company that set out to create the most comfortable, supportive office chair the world has ever seen, to help people with pain and maximize performance. So at a very high level, that's the outcome we're trying to produce. And why do we have the authority to make those wild claims? We worked with the disabled population and worked with people in wheelchairs for the last 70 plus years
as a
collective team. So the amount of research, data, science that had to go into the products that we were making for the disabled population, which are the most intense sitters on the face of the planet, as you can imagine, mm-hmm. It wasn't just about comfort or discomfort. It was about, in some cases, life or death, right? Yeah. If you have the wrong equipment and you're sitting in your chair all day long, every day, that's a huge deal. So for us, what we have is just a different way of seeing sitting. And we may not be experts on a lot of things, but we can sit here today and say that we know sitting better than 99.9% of the population.
Yeah. So for, you know, that was an eye opener for me. Of course, I had friends who started standing desk startups, so I had a lot of thesis of it. But I think for anybody listening, no question, the last 10 years, you started hearing like sitting is the new smoking. Yep. Was a, you know, a thing I've heard in different business settings. There's been a bigger conversation to health and wellness over the last 30 years across the board. Mental health, physical health. Like, I don't even recognize popular culture. It's wonderful. Like, just the way people are putting in their bodies, how we're thinking about it. And it makes sense. Like, you know, like, I never thought that this would be the way I would look at 47 when I was 15, because 47-year-olds just didn't take care of themselves the way we all do. And I'm not even like really, I'm like solid, but like there's people really looking crazy at 50 and 60 and 70. And so this is just great. This is why we're living longer. It all makes sense. But what are the things that we're missing? Let's start with sitting for a second, because I'm fascinated by it. What are the misconceptions? What are the realities? What can you share with the audience about sitting?
Yeah.
Anecdotally, for instance.
The big one, sitting is the new smoking. Man, that one really chaps us going, it's not that bad, actually. And if you look at the evidence, standing is the new smoking, not sitting.
Tell me.
Standing is more detrimental for your spine and your body than sitting.
Because that motherfucker gravity?
If you dissect the human body and you dig in and you one,
so
you gotta turn
so this
on
is
every
interesting
muscle.
To me. Are you saying, hence why you're doing this startup, are you saying that your chair, based on what you're about to tell me next, is better for you than a standing desk?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, you'd think.
That's hot.
But
I'm pretty excited
important.
Right now.
Standing is important, right? It is. Both are very important.
Of course. And it's
one's not better than the other.
It's like everything in life, right?
We would like to start with the asterisks. One
alcohol,
is not better than the other.
If you misplay it, is bad.
Yeah.
Alcohol not misplayed is solid. Go ahead.
Both played equally is important.
Fair
so
enough.
With the
Fair
asterisks.
Enough. Fair enough.
When you stand,
yes.
You turn on every muscle in your body to stand up, especially if you're going to stand properly.
Yes.
A lot of muscle chains on.
Yes.
And you can only exert that much energy for so long before you lean on the desk.
Makes all the sense.
Two arms on the desk. Then you slide the laptop forwards even more and you lean even farther. And now you're sitting with a really, in a bad back position. And then you're crossing a leg and you're leaning this way and that way. And you're really not doing what you really set out to do with the standing desk.
You know what's so funny, brother? You know what just happened in my head? when you were saying that, huh, so cliche to things I believe about human behavior. The individuals that are most excited about getting a standing desk oftentimes are looking for the hack that works for them, which also then means that they aren't as interested in putting in the work to build up all the muscle that they would need to actually get the advantage of a standing desk, because the amount of muscle that one has to create actually take advantage of like not being fatigued over a period of time and standing is like, it's like this fucking dude. I know there's some good shit under that shirt. I can tell. I can tell. I see it from a mile away. I know it's good. It's like, you gotta be like that to actually like do something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you're standing incorrectly and you're doing that 8 hours a day, all of a sudden that you're just adding strength to dysfunction.
Right, so then the hypothesis becomes, cool, since we're going to sit anyway, since like, that's interesting. Okay, keep going.
But the, I would say the second part of that is performance. So we look into the research, we look at the data, and when you are standing, you, conscious or not, you're hijacking some of your ability to focus on what what you're working on. So when you're sitting in a chair that supports your body, you can shut off your muscles, you can relax, then 100% of your attention is going to what you're focusing on. So I think it's from both a pain and, you know, injury perspective, but also just a performance perspective.
It's an interesting question. I'm curious what you're going to say. From a standpoint of like, it's leg day, it's ab day, it's like, right, like that whole thing, is there a regimen for certain people that would be nice for them to do a mix? Like, is it good to sit in this chair 5 days a week, but 2 days a week do the standing desk? Like,
I think it's a shorter time frame than that. It's like, why don't you sit an hour and stand an hour, sit an hour, stand an hour, sit an hour, stand 20 minutes, or maybe not an hour of standing, maybe even shorter window of standing because you fatigue faster. So sit an hour, stand 10 minutes, move around, then sit down again. But you sit well, don't slouch.
If your body allows you to stand 8 hours a day in the perfect position, and you can do that without creating any kind of dysfunction within your body, then great.
You know what's so funny? I just thought of something. I actually pitched Mike on a startup that plays in this slouching thing. So I had something happen a different time, and Mike got me this thing, right, that I put over myself. Like, what is that thing?
Like a posture reminder.
Yeah, thank you. And like, you know, it really tight, like whatever, and I don't remember. It might have been my back thing, but I just remembered telling him like, yo, we need to create a product where, like, I was like, my bigger problem is when I'm sleeping. When I'm sleeping, I go fully primal into baby mode. I'm like, I'm so fucked up. I'm like baby Yoda. Like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm doing something.
I'm with you there.
I'm so bad.
Dislocated shoulder.
And I was like, bro, I have to, like, and actually the shoulder thing now, I used to sleep through the night all the time. Lately, this is very recent, last 6 months, I'm waking up once or twice a night because my shoulders, and I don't know, like I'm actually doing all the right things more. I don't know what I did that made this thing happen, but I was like, Mike, I need this thing. I want to sleep with it.
It's funny you should mention sleep with sitting right now, because those two are best friends, and most people just don't realize it.
Notice what I did?
No, you just, great segue, Gary.
Thank you, brother. So wait, so after you guys are done with this startup, can you create like a sleeping chamber that makes me like be like a vampire and just like be pot? Like, honestly, the thing that's cool about the sleep one is like, I just would love to be straight as an arrow for 7 hours, because I'm sleeping anyway. It feels like I'm not doing the work, which is fun. That's the problem. The problem with the world, health, fitness, posture, you know, all of it, mental health, people really struggle doing the work that doesn't come natural to them. I have unlimited fitness buddies who all look like you too, who like just don't want to actually work 8 hours a day on their business. And I laugh because I'm like, they're like asking me every shortcut the same way I'm asking them, like, hey, can I get like the apple cider vinegar bullshit? Or can I get like ab implants? Or can I, like, what's this new thing that every fucking person's now taking so they don't fucking eat the diet? Like the fucking, like people are just always looking for the shortcut, which is why this intrigued me and why I want to do this show, which is like, there's not a lot of things that are easy actually to make your life better. It's why medicine's so like loved and revered. Like, you take it and things can get better. This kind of felt very practical to me. I'm like, wow, especially when Mike put the propaganda of like, and not the propaganda, like started, I use that as a slang term, so I wanna be clear here. When Mike educated me of like the sitting thing is a thing, and it makes sense, because my this, like whatever, what's this? Like, what's that? Yeah, but like this, Yes, the psoas. Oh, that psoas, motherfucker. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a tight
motherfucker. Amount of work I have, like, that shit is so tight.
Yeah.
And that's all from this horse shit. Mm-hmm. Yep. Anyway, nonetheless, you can do yoga and Pilates and put in the fucking work, which everyone should. But what really fucked me up was I did put in the work for 3 years and fixed so much. And then one 18-month window of a global pandemic where I changed my behavior,
mm-hmm.
it really was, I'll be very frank with you, disheartening. Because it's cliche. I lost 20 pounds over a year and a half and I put in all the work and fuck, 9 months later, it's all back because you changed your behavior back to the bad behavior. That's probably the thing that I most want to talk to you about, which is like, because I think it's a, by the way, for everyone who's listening, this is a very selfish episode for me because I hope this springs an idea for you that's your version of this startup for them. Meaning, I think that there's still a lot of inventions to be made that will like put training wheels to people on things that are hard. Let me give you like another comp that nobody talks about. The reason I thought Musical.ly was gonna be big, which ended up becoming TikTok, and I get all that credit, is because I understood that it was helping people make content easier.
Mm-hmm.
That if you look at what happened with social media over the last decade, the tools now between green screen this and filter that and music this and split screens that, it's become a production infrastructure. It's an Adobe suite that helps people that couldn't do what I did, which was like, you just had to go and talk and that had to carry the day. So I love this concept of training wheels, things that make things easier. This chair really helps everyone, but someone like me who's really emotional about his back pain over the last 20 years, it's like really an interesting product. And I'm sure a lot of other people out there, A, are going through this, but then B, to be honest, because I know my audience here, I'm hoping this episode inspires them to do their startup that helps people do something they don't want to do. Speaking of inspiring, tell us about the adversity story.
Oh, I'd love to, but I'd like to touch quick on something that you said, the posture trainer thing. And sleeping and tie it into the mattress and posture training.
Yes.
And that's exactly what a chair that fits you right can do. This can help you sit up better.
Actually, let's talk about the chair. We're kind of like yapping. Like I have this whole, my own agenda right now, which is I'm hoping somebody invents something so profound and they say my podcast did and I get all the credit. Then there's also, I really want you to talk a little bit because I know a little bit about backstory because I think a lot of people go through adversity before they get to their place. But actually, one more time, the .com of the chair and more importantly, like what does it actually do?
It's Anthros.
Yep.
.com.
Yep.
And it's just a play on the Greek root word of human, anthro. And that was our principle for designing the chair. It wasn't to design the chair for an office worker or a gamer or a blogger. It was to design a chair for a human being. And we all have the same needs. We don't have green blood and purple blood. We all need the same kind of input, the same kind of love. And a chair can hurt you or it can help you. A chair can feel comfortable. You can fall asleep in it. Or it can be like a park bench and be painful where you can't wait to get off of the dang thing. And that's what we tried to invent, is a chair that can help change your posture over time. And you're feeling that when you make those little adjustments to the two backs, you were changing your posture. And use it as a tool instead of the strap that your trainer had you put on. You're using your chair to get your
which is so much more scalable.
Yeah, you
nobody wants to wear a weird strap at night.
Yeah.
But people sit in chairs.
Yeah. So change your posture over time. And actually, we worked pretty hard to get the chair registered with the FDA as a sitting orthotic. It is qualified to change your posture over time. And one of the big claims that we make, going, try the chair, feel the truth. This is the softest cushion you're ever going
to
sit on.
This is back to like muscle gain and all the stuff I learned, like the way your body-mind thing works. You're saying micro deposits on a daily basis that over time actually change the way you're like walking and sitting and standing. And
definition of an orthotic is changing posture over time, which is what this chair allows you to do. On top of that, we guarantee, because we have testing, university testing, we took all of the leading office chairs that we could find, threw them into a seating engineering lab and said, can you guys test these and see which ones perform at the highest level in terms of measures of comfort? And you can guess who won that. Who That's won cool. that test? A bunch cool. of the bunch of wheelchair sitting nerds.
Of course. Tell us, I think this is the story that I know you wanted to share. Let's talk about that.
Sure.
be clear, he does not want to share this story, but yeah. I thought your audience would love it.
I love you for
I
that.
I think they'll, I love they'll you find for that. Some value Thank you for doing the, that. You know, the losses.
Yeah. The failed successes seem to yeah. be the hot story.
Tell us.
I'm 47. I just turned 47. Nice. Yeah. And this is literally the anniversary. 20 years ago, I was 27 years old, and I started a business bringing a power wheelchair to market with a really unique feature on it that kind of raised the seat up 22 inches. Sounds kind of weird, like an accordion thing, yeah. but if you're sitting all day long, you can't reach in your upper cabinets, you can't see somebody eye to eye, and on and on and on and on.
Right.
So raising them up to function in a walking world is a no-brainer. So brought this thing to market, was doing really good, raised, was what, 27, 28, raised almost $2 million, had seven partners, and launched it, was traveling all over the U.S., showing the chair off to all the VA hospitals. Things were going great. And I came across an investor, kind of on a fluke, a new angel investor. And I was reading Inc. Magazine, 2017, Entrepreneur of the Year, and it was a local Wisconsin guy that had done really good for himself. And in there he talked about, man, when I was, if I could go back in time, I'd work with the banks differently. I changed my whole relationship. And I was like, I wonder what he means by that, because I'm in
right.
the startup mode. Right. What should I know? So the old-fashioned way, I wrote a letter with a pen
yeah.
and licked an envelope and put a sticker on it. And lo and behold, he reached out and invited me down to meet him. Shocked that he responded, right? That guy's a billionaire. I didn't think he'd give me the time of day, but he's the kindest guy I've met in the business world. So rode down there, met the guy, shook his hand, told him my story, and in 1 hour, that was it. I wanted him to be a part of this business, and he wanted to be in and buy everybody out. And what can I do for you? What do you need right now to keep winning? I said, I need like 25 grand. You know, my monthly burn rate's hot right now. And he's like, okay, stop by the front desk for a check for $25,000, and we'll talk in a couple weeks. It's like, what did you just say? You don't even have my home address. I don't even know if you have the spelling of my last name. You want to give me a check for $25,000 on a handshake? Man, I love you.
Of course.
You're like the fairy godfather, right? So this relationship went on and a number of months of doing exactly what he said. And the story goes that literally you learn the no deal's done until it's done, right? That simple little adage.
Yep.
Literally a handful of days before the contract was signed by both of us, he was buying all my partners out and going to move down by him and, you know, ride off into the sunset. Yeah, with this power wheelchair, and we're going to change lives with a billionaire backer. I mean, how much more can you ask for
and
in your early
20s?
Yeah, early 20s.
So it wasn't 2017. It was 2007.
Yeah, I was 27.
Yeah, I was listening carefully. Yeah, that threw me off for a half a second,
sorry.
But I thought that's what it was. Yep, I just want to clarify it for the audience. So here you are. Here's someone who gave you 25K kind of blindly. Like, it's everything's checking the boxes.
Yeah,
it's
the dream's
coming true.
It's a known
individual. You're literally within the week of him buying out the rest of investors at the same valuation or an inflated valuation?
It was going to be inflated.
They're exactly
gonna be
good. Right? And?
And I got a phone call saying that he had a tragic death out of the blue, right?
You know. Oh, so, you know, this was setting up as like, it was funny, the way you were selling the story, like I thought you were building up the drama of like, this was the nicest guy, but it wasn't the nicest guy.
Oh no, he's the nicest guy in business that I ever met. Like, you want to talk about the definition of philanthropy, that is this guy.
I almost jumped in and said, right, you know, if it's too good to be true, it is. That's why you didn't say that. Holy shit,
yeah,
you're a week away from this thing and this gentleman passes away tragically?
Yeah, and we mentioned it was 07, right? So I'm going into 08, January of 08.
Right, the whole world changed.
The whole world did change. And
just like maybe it's happening now.
And that burn rate was still there.
Right.
And he owned like 30 other companies. And, you know,
wow.
It's just fate. You know, you can't change fate. It was
meant to be.
Exactly. So
hard to swallow at 20.
Hard to swallow, yeah. Especially when you felt like you were the top of the world, right? You know, a day before. And now
this
it's
goes
gone.
Very into my thesis of like gratitude for like you just don't know. Like seemingly like every, you know?
Yeah, you don't know.
How
so
long
it was
did
all
it
gone.
Take? You know, this is very, thank you by the way for making him share this. real talk. Cause the answer might not be even now. Like how long did it take you to comprehend that to get to a place where you could say it was just meant to be versus like, how did this happen to me? What are the odds? All that stuff.
Oh, that's
can you, sorry to interrupt, can you slip in the quick little story of the moment where you kind of had the, this is
the worst of all. Can you tell the worst moment of the story, you know, Steve?
It's kind of the bottom moment where you look
how
at your
life.
How
old was the gentleman when, this gentleman when he passed?
Maybe 60.
This is terrible. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So, this moment happens, right? And it only takes a handful of months to go by before they 6, 7, 8 months go by and they're like, sorry, we're liquidating all of his companies unless it dealt with the main company and yours doesn't qualify as one of those. So now I've been, I don't want to say strung out, but the burn rate was going, the deal was done, but it's not done now. And now I'm in like June, July of 08 looking for money.
Okay.
And my existing partners were mortgage bankers, builders, all in the wrong trades, basically, to keep funding this company. So I was done. I was just, my goose is cooked. So I was the managing director of the LLC, and as you know, all bankruptcies slide through that individual. So I took the loss, as did my wife at the time, of the business failing, and that was a lot of strain on us, and that was the end of the relationship. So the divorce kicked off at the exact same time as this, and now I was asked to turn in all my assets, right? So this is the moment that is the tough one. It's a drive your vehicles down to the auction, please. Okay. So I drove the first one down and was very embarrassed back then. I was kind of down and out. So I hitchhiked my way back home. Took about an hour or so, got back home and thought that was stupid. I got a better idea. I'm going to put this moped in the back of the other vehicle. And I drove the other one down to the auction. And pushed the moped out and, you know, thought, okay, it's normally an hour drive on the expressway and I've got to take all these country roads in January in Wisconsin with, you know, my best coat and pants on that I can and a snowmobile helmet and no goggles and, you know, looking like a nut job. Who's riding a moped in January in Wisconsin to begin with, let alone crying the whole way home?
I would love it.
Yeah,
into that shit.
Just literally crying the whole way home. I mean, the crocodile tears, you know, freezing your face and chipping them off, and
especially when your brain, you know, 3 weeks earlier. I don't know the timing here, but like, how many days earlier you think it's completely on the other side of the equation?
Yeah, it happens so fast.
Yeah,
that's, and then you get back to the building. It's like, well, I don't have a place to live, and all that I have left in this building is a pallet with like 6 bags of clothes on it, 2 speakers, my gas grill. And my yellow lab, happy to see me.
Yeah.
And the dig back question is easy. And you say it all the time. You don't have much time to feel bad for yourself when you start getting hungry.
100%.
No job, no checking, no savings, no bank, no cars, no house, no place to stay. You're homeless. It's just you and your dog, and you're hungry.
So what did you do?
You hustle. You take any job.
Where'd you stay?
I'd couch surf at some friends' houses. Mm-hmm. You know, started far and narrowed it in. You know, you can only do that for so long,
of
too.
Course.
And there's no job that I wouldn't do,
of
man.
Course.
Clean gutter, clean up poop,
yep,
pressure wash,
yep.
Put a floor in. What do you want done? So for 2 years, I just hustled.
And then what happened?
And then what's really interesting
what was
is
supposed
that.
To happen?
Yeah, what was supposed to happen? The interesting thing is, you could say that I was a little bitter than like this wheelchair thing ruined my life. Okay, there is some of that.
Of course, you're a young man at this point.
Yeah, you know, like ruined my life.
Someone in their late 20s. This is why I talk about all my content. Like when you're 29, you're not gonna walk around Earth with a 47-year-old, you know, perception. You're not gonna walk around Earth with a 74-year-old perception. You're definitely in like that place.
29, 30,
and
a little bitter.
You know where, you know, there was literally a comment today on my social. I don't know why it triggered me so much. Literally, it's what I get all the time. Oh, I know what it was. There was a very, very, very viral video for me years ago of me outside saying this could be the last Monday of your life. You could have been a bus. It went very viral at the time. For a lot of people today, it's still to this day. It was the first time they ever saw me because it was when Facebook fan pages were going and we hit. And we reposted on Instagram for the first time in forever. And literally there was I was just looking at it this morning, like 24 hours later, just kind of reading some of the comments. And someone's like, you know, like, yeah, but like not really because like I am lost. I'm 25. And all my friends are doing X, Y, and Z. And the thing that I always find interesting is especially at 28, 29, 30 fucks up everyone under 30 in such a wild way. Every single person, 17 to 29, has this crazy bad relationship with 30. As if it's like, I'm 47 and I'm like, 30 is a child, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. And the world's younger now, and a lot of people do like live more child life at 30 than they did back when everybody was getting married at 20 and would have 10-year-olds at 30, just you know, two generations earlier. But you know, at that, to back to your story, because we're of that same age, like not only were you struggling those 2 years, some of your high school friends and some of your acquaintances and cousins and friends really, quote unquote, had their life figured out already.
Oh, they did. I was,
and that really fucks with people. Yeah. That's where people get really right. People get really down on themselves, especially when, and this is why this story is so important. Thank you for making me share this, because this is good for my audience. Especially when a month or two or three earlier, you thought you were going to be ahead of all your friends. This is why I'm obsessed with comparison. Comparing your life to anybody else's life is the great mistake of everyone's life. Because it will put you in such a bad place regardless. Either you'll think you're too good, which is maybe where, yeah, I don't know you, like maybe where you were a month earlier, because you're like, wait till I have this big, wait till everybody hears, which is always bad. That's a vulnerability. Yeah. Or the one that's much more prominent, which is you think you suck because you called out the most successful person you know of your age. I love how people do it. Gary, you don't get it. My neighbor's sister's best friend just built a $1 million company. I'm like, what about your 80 other loser friends? Why don't you compare it to yourself? Like, people will pick out the one Mark Zuckerberg. I'm like, Mark Zuckerberg? Like, the fuck are you talking about? All 20 of your roommates suck. Why don't you compare yourself to them? Like, why? People just love to bash themselves, like, for no fucking reason. In your late 20s, when you get to that zero of a place that fast from a place that was on the verge of putting a lot of paper value mm-hmm. around you, must have been challenging.
It was, but I really go back to, it was like, how'd you do it? It's like, man, I was just hungry and I wanted, I'm a doer. I want to take care of me. I didn't want to fall upon the system. So guess what? I'm going to sling concrete. I'm going to put your roof on for you. I'm going to remodel your kitchen for you. But I'm taking care of me, and of this case, it was just me and my dog.
Yeah, of course. What happened next? How'd you get to this point?
That's a quick transition. Believe it or not, after 2 years of just side jobs, hustling, just staying alive, I mean, literally, the company, when I was making this power wheelchair, I designed everything but the seating. I bought the seating system from another local company.
Okay.
Called the Comfort Company.
Okay.
And this company reached out to me, you know, 2 years later going, hey man, what are you up to? You're not doing the wheelchair thing anymore, are you? I'm like, no, I'm not. Why don't you come work for us?
Interesting.
No. Wheelchairs ruined my life. No, thank you.
Oh, no shit.
At first, it was a solid no.
You were still there.
I was, yeah. Yeah, so you want to know how long? I can tell you 2 years later, apparently I was still a little bitter because I said no to him. And literally the weird part is I got in the car, politely told him no. Hey man, thanks for the offer, but I'm going to find something else to do. Wheelchairs, man, I'm a gig. I get maybe two blocks down the road and I had the most thermal, nuclear, emotional blow up out of nowhere. I had to pull the car over and I had no clue why. And it was more like, how dare he make me think about wheelchair people?
You are again. Mad.
I can't believe that he's trying to make me come back into this thing. It ruined my life. And then, 2 weeks later, after telling your friends and family, they're like, you're an idiot. This is who you are. You love this. It's who you were meant to be. Just go take the job and get your ass back in there.
And?
I did.
And?
They saved me. And then I got back into the wheelchair community again, serving them. This time not with power chair. Now it's with seating.
How did you go all the way back? How did you first get into the wheelchair community before how'd you invent that? Like, what was your first experience with it?
That's a quick one. My Uncle Bob, as a disability.
I see.
I've grown up around it. He's been in a manual chair, power chair his entire life, and he is an entrepreneur. He owns a landscaping company and climbs on and off tractors and skidsters equipment, and if you saw him, you'd go, I cannot believe this guy does this. So you want to talk about the definition of tenacity? It's Uncle Bob.
Yeah.
I love fucking Uncle Bob.
I saw this chair that goes up and down, and I was like, man, if
Uncle Bob,
he had one of those, or anybody like
him. Scratching your own itch is just like profound. All right, we're gonna run out of time. What have we not? By the way, you should not do this chair business, and you should be a professional storyteller because that was extremely good. Yeah. Now CMO, I know why you made him do that. I was like, why? Like, that wasn't for the audience. That was putting him in the platform of what he should really be.
Why does everybody want this story? Yeah. I just want to sell chairs. I did this story.
You're a very, very good storyteller. That was really cool. So actually, because I'm going to get rushed out of here, like what didn't we touch on that you thought of? Like, I obviously wanted to talk about, like, first, I'm like pretty sure before I die, I will have a soft tissue business, because, you know, not to the level of the emotion I think comes with an Uncle Bob who's in a wheelchair, but like my back was foundational in my life for 20 years. Like I didn't sit on a certain side of airplanes for 15 years because I knew if I fell asleep that there was a chance it could lock.
Yeah.
Right? So like it was a real part of my life. Like, you know, it really, you know, it's amazing what you'll just accept. I was just like, that's my life. I have a bad back. And it was just like so solvable through just tissue work and stretching and like strength. And it just like, I'm like, wow, fuck. And this is why I'm so passionate about this single podcast. The thought of like, you know, at some level you guys care quite a bit if people get this chair. I'm just trying to get people educated in my audience about like the chair thing. And like, yes, of course it'd be awesome if they get excited about this, but like, I just want people to know.
Yeah.
It's kind of like in the 70s, I'm sure someone was like, this cigarette thing is not as good as people think. Like, we should talk about it more. Or like the things we're going through now. Like, this the way we're sitting is a real thing. Absolutely. And like really matters. What do we not touch on in the last 2 minutes here that we should touch on? Anything stand out?
We could probably tie that into, go right from the Comfort Company thing. Now that's,
yeah.
We could just jump into, how'd you do seating? We did seating for 10 years, yep. Right?
And you then, guys met where? You
were we met at that seating company 15 years ago. So,
oh, you were there?
Yeah, he was always product, product side of things. I was marketing, and so we brought products to market for the last 15 years together.
Yeah. So you guys have known each other that long?
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
At what point did you know you guys wanted to work together? Like in a different capacity?
Yeah, I mean, I think, that was probably 10, maybe 8 years ago. We transparently, he was upset at our then president.
Yeah.
And he said,
he seems like that kind of guy.
I think
I think he's still got some feelings in it. Like, I'm watching him carefully. I'm not sure I can turn it anymore.
That's it. I'm out of here. I got an idea. We're out of here. Maybe we should do office chairs.
Do you think that's entrepreneurial passion? Do you feel like that's engineering DNA? Like, hey, this isn't as good as it can be. Like, what triggers that?
I'm kind of the curious guy that likes looking for problems and then finding simple solutions, big solutions. My wife would tell you that my favorite phrase is, I got an idea.
You're an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know we're short on time here, but I think Anthros, what we want, we just want to be part of for the people who know what it's like to wake up at 4 a.m. and work till midnight, the people who are chasing their dreams, sacrificing everything, getting zero recognition, for the people like you who have experienced chronic pain and will never take for granted not being in pain again, we think that we can be part of, you know, part of that journey, and we're cheering those type of people on.
I love that, brother. A couple things. There's so many little stories I want to tell. I used to, when I first started working out, it was wild. Jordan pointed this out to me. The weight, like when I'd have to pick it up to do like some sort of thing, on the right side, I would just pick it up. And on the left side, I would pivot my entire body to be able to do it because I couldn't do it straight.
Yeah.
And like, I'm bringing this up at the like random thoughts here because I'm telling people, like, I don't think people realize that they don't need to accept being in pain because they don't think they have time to fix or money to fix it. Not that this chair's fucking inexpensive, but like, it's like, to me, it's just so fucking worth it. Like grabbing my luggage from the top at an airport, like, it's just like, it's an everyday thing when you don't realize, you know, I also think I'm doing a PSA for just gaining strength. Mm-hmm. Like it's really scary how big of a deal that is, especially legs. Like, we were talking about this offline, like, it really matters. And nobody wants to do leg days. Like, I literally, when Mike says Bulgarian split squats, I literally like cry.
It means still every 2 days time. Later, not walking down steps.
Yeah, it's the
steps.
Worst, but fuck, it's so worth it. So like, you know, both gaining strength, to just make this very broad, we talk so much about perspective and mentality on this show. This is going to the other side of it, which is like, you just don't have to be in this situation. Like, there are a lot of ways to do it. And I do think sitting like is a category of conversation that needs to have a lot more talk, and like obviously the chair, but then there's obviously other variables that you could be doing. And I think I hope this inspired some people to actually go down this rabbit hole, because I'm looking forward to the DMs and emails in a year, because it is a big deal for me and for a lot of other people. Yeah. And I'm cheering for you guys, and I wish you well.
Yeah, thank you very
Thanks
much.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for being on.
Appreciate it.